Welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Show, live from Ferd Sports Bar and Grill, providing a positive perspective from the Pee Wees to the Preps to the Pros in Champa Bay. Now, here's your host, Mike Rickard.
To the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. And you're listening to Mike Rickard, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, right here in the heart of Champa Bay. And we're streaming live on RadioSt.Pete.com. And, of course, on all of our platforms. We archive on MyHoovy.TV. We're in the heart of Champa Bay. Beautiful day down here. Come on down to Ferg's. We've got a lot of baseball action. 4:10 today down here at Ferg's. It's the Twinkies, and I shouldn't call them the Twinkies. I'm from Iowa. I love the Twins. It's the Minnesota Twins. There were a lot of Minnesotans down here yesterday as I was wearing my Iowa Cubs gear. We were talking Midwestern temperatures. I want to again thank Ray Kennedy and my buddy Kenny Knowles last week for carrying the ball for us as I was up in Des Moines, Iowa, where the Drake Relays are taking place in frigid conditions. We'll talk a little bit about that later in the show. And we've been down here at Ferg's. Ferg's has been here 29 years serving Champa Bay. And each and every post game, this is the place to be. I'll tell you what, we had a great crowd last night. I helped Mark before each and every ball game. Come down, get some wings, get some beers. Rated number one in the Bay last year for wings and sports bar, and he just keeps on rocking. And speaking of rocking, there's a concert here tonight after the concert, after the ball game. 4:10 first pitch, probably about 7:30. You'll be able to come over here to Ferg's and rock out and have a great Saturday night in downtown St. Pete. We have a jam show today. As I had mentioned earlier, as she walked in, we'll talk to them as soon as I do the Ferg's from the front row. We're going to talk sailing with Eckerd College in the Tritons. No one in the history of local radio has ever broke down sailing. I'm looking forward to it because I basically have lived on water my entire life in some capacity on a lake in Iowa, and now I live on a beach. So I love sailing. Can't do it. Tried it. Sucked. And these guys will, maybe they'll give me some tips. We're on our Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection radio network. Let's recognize our flagship, of course, 106.1 FM. That's Tan Talk. AM 1350, AM 1340, WZHR, AM 1400, and we're reaching from the Sunshine Bridge and all of Pinellas County, Tampa to Lakeland, and north to Zephyr Hills. And I want to thank Big Ed up there in the controls. We're going to be modifying this show a lot. In the month of May, it'll take on a little more positive production, if you will. And once they get me off the mic, which will be another 20 years, I'll have to pry it out of my hand. As my daughter says, we're bringing a lot of new youth. We're bringing the Eckerd College content team on board. I'll be over there on Tuesday having a conversation with those kids. Well, last night, of course, the Rays, we went to a Rays game on Thursday. Radio St. Pete had a suite over there. I took my good friends here, Kenny and Sherry. They had seats right behind home plate. And the beauty of it, Rays win over the Seattle Mariners in a 4:10 first pitch. And then tomorrow, 1:10 down here. Let's go over Ferg's from the front row. Of course, the Tampa Bay Lightning are in the playoffs. They will take on the Maple Leafs. That starts next week. Rays are one game out of first, so Champa Bay is doing well. Ray Kennedy will break down the draft that took place the last couple of days. Some interesting moves, a lot of moves, actually, more than ever in the history of the NFL draft in modern time, and we'll talk about that as well. Come on down, NBA. Every night there's NBA games down here. Mark loves basketball, and whatever team you are behind, there's 94 televisions down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. So come on down. We'll sit you and your friends there. We do the same thing during college football season, game day. And it's heating up right now, the energy with the Bucks in the conversation with the draft. You got the Rays relevant. Of course, Stanley Cup, their pursuit of their third Stanley Cup. And, you know, everybody's been disappointed in the year. It doesn't matter now. It doesn't matter in any sport. Once the playoffs start, everybody's got the same record, and let's rock and roll, Bolts, and bring home. Let's have another boat parade. How's that sound? That's the reality. Boat parade. You guys might be able to drive those boat parades, and they probably could use you. So let's start our Triton time as we do each and every Saturday down here. Been blessed, and I was looking at Amanda Green, my favorite over there. Well, I don't know. I better not say that. Tommy Ryan's my favorite since this is his hangout. I'm giving the information that he probably doesn't want people to know. This is Mr. Ryan's hangout. You know that. And Mark Ferguson, my buddy and his buddy, actually put this whole deal together. And it's the Tritons. Say, yeah, you don't need to put those on. I got a big mouth. You can already tell that. And kind enough to come down today. I know very little about the competitive side of sailing. I've watched many regattas up at Okoboji, which is a lake in northwest Iowa. It's the biggest body of water, I believe, in that area. There's not a whole lot up there, to be quite candid with you. And they're kind enough to join me right now. And Caroline Young, correct?
Yes.
Thank you for coming down. And why don't you introduce...
Okay, so our teammate here is Alyssa Martinez. She's a junior on the sailing team, and our head coach to my left, Kellen Bernard. And then Brooks Jordan at the end of the table.
All right. Well, let's talk about... talk just a little bit louder. I'm not sure I like Ray's proposal here, but we'll make it through it. Don't worry. So... let's talk about your background, how you, you've probably been, most people that sail have been doing since they were kids. So talk about your family, how you got involved in sailing, and how you evolved to be over at Eckerd, which is a great school.
Sure, so I started sailing when I was 9, and I grew up in Tampa. I grew up on Davis Island. So in Davis Island, we had just a little summer camp at the end of the island if you wanted to learn how to sail. And so I did that. Mainly, I think, to get me out of the house, but I wound up really liking it. And they said that they had a race program, and so I tried that out when I was 9, right? So from the age of 9 to 18, I competed on the junior circuit, the junior national circuit, the junior international circuit. And I just got lucky. My parents didn't really sail, but it happened to be something down the street from our house.
So that was kind of your punishment? Get out of the house. Go sailing with all the rich kids.
Yes, but I... Yes,
go hang out.
Yeah, I think I got the better end of the deal because I came back and was like, well, now you have to pay thousands of dollars.
Exactly.
To get me out of here.
I encouraged golf. My background, one of the sports that, you know, my brain's proven it at 65 years old. Boxing, football, the stupid sports. But I pushed my son into golf, no sports. Well, then he started looking at the cost of entry. Mm-hmm. Sure you don't want to try boxing? It's just two gloves? The ring? No, but the reality of it is it doesn't matter. It's the passion, and they wanted to see you happy.
Right.
And so you obviously have a passion. You're still doing it, and you're only 19.
Yeah, okay.
You look like you can still be going to
Edward.
All these, it must be a Fountain of Youth over there. When I get there on Tuesday, would you show me the Fountain of Youth over there?
Yeah.
Maybe it's that beach over there.
Yeah.
But all the coaches somebody look young, it. Like they could still be participating. Did you go to Eckerd?
No, I went to Stanford, actually.
Oh, yeah, that one of those.
I went to Eckerd.
You're Eckerd, okay.
Yep. Callum went to
You've kept it up. Because almost every program, every team that's come, coaches are alum.
Yeah.
And I just think that's superb. I mean, you want to talk about... family passion and believe, and then they bring in a cardinal, a lady cardinal. But you're from here, so we'll give you that. Oh, you got your Stanford gear on. You're supposed to wear Eckerd gear.
Oh, no.
Sherry, run up to my office and grab my Eckerd hat. I actually have an Eckerd hat, which normally is out here, but the wind was too much today. Anyway, Cardinals, we just got done talking Tiger Woods, so we'll let you get away with that
Thank
one.
Thank you, yes.
No, so I bet that was a great experience going to Stanford.
Yeah, it was. I wanted to get as far away from home as possible, so that worked out.
imagine someone wanting to do that when they're 18. Never happens, does it?
Yeah. No, it was good. I mean, the nice thing about the Pacific Coast Conference for sailing, it's similar to this South Atlantic Conference, right? It's got, like, a lot of younger, smaller teams competing with, it's like varsity, club, all different levels of sports programs. And so, yeah, it's been a nice transition over to CESA because it's almost the same vibe.
Share the teams that are in that conference on the West Coast because I think I'm pretty familiar with them. But it's not like the Pac-10. I mean, you've got the smaller schools playing against competing against the Stanfords of the world.
Yeah, they do. Well, it's really that the athletic department doesn't acknowledge sailing as a varsity sport everywhere. So when we compete against the UC schools, UC Santa Barbara, UCLA, UC San Diego, they are club status, so they don't have quite the funding or the backing from the school. So it's a big school, big athletic department, but sailing falls outside of it. The University of Hawaii has a really good varsity program, and so does University of Southern California.
Now, are these funded by anyone? There's no scholarships over at Eckerd for this. I was told that, you know, unfortunately. And then I talked to Bill, the golf coach. I know him from St. Pete's Country Club. And I think they just started funding the women's golf program with some scholarship funds. Do you see in the future the possibility, Caroline, of any funding for the for with the exception of, I think, name, image, and likeness for you guys could work because it's a cool sport. I mean, yeah. I think NIL might be the direction to go.
We're really fortunate at Eckerd. They do, like, they fund our boats and travel and everything else. As far as scholarships go, there are no scholarships allowed in college sailing.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, no. So it's a level playing field.
It's a level playing field, yes.
Everybody's on the same plane, and I suppose depending on the institution and their availability of financial support, that may not be a level playing field.
Right.
But you know, it's the haves and the have-nots in sports at every level anyway. So
that's
not unusual.
That's not something that people are competing for. So really, kids, in my opinion, get to pick more like the school they want to be at, the program they want to go to. You know, and it's not like fighting for a handful of scholarships.
Gotcha. Okay, so let's talk about. Now, does everybody in the Sunshine State Conference have sailing?
A lot of teams do, but not everybody.
So Southeast Conference is like, our conference for sailing is from the tip of Florida all the way up through North Carolina.
Oh, so it's not same conference that everybody else is playing in the other sports.
No.
Right. So because if you think about it, how many schools are on the water at all? Yeah. So we had to stretch out a little bit.
Yeah, if you're landlocked, how's the sailing team doing? Well, they're over on the river right now. Where I'm from, you'd be on the Missouri, or maybe you make it over the Mississippi.
Yeah.
I don't think there'd be any sailing.
Yeah, so
there are some teams that are on rivers and lakes and stuff. Rollins, for example, is in Orlando, and they sail on a lake. But for the most part, most of the strong sailing teams are closer to the coast.
For obvious reasons.
Yeah.
And you guys have, which is cool, and I'm going to see that Tuesday. I want to make sure that security checks me, and I don't want to think I'm just some old creeper walking around the campus. I'm going to wear my Eckerd gear. Maybe they'll think, you know, like I'm some kind of one of the contributors to their funds.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the major donors.
Yeah, one of the major donors. They'll know right away when I wear a Hawaiian shirt, cigar, walking in. Hey, where's my Triton time, guys? Where's my pals? Yeah, I think I'll get the old boot. Anyway, so talk about competition. I mean, you got teams. Do you have individual sailing? You know, this is a novice, and I'm sure most of our audience. So give us an idea. As I said, I've watched regattas on a good-sized lake, but that's as far as I go.
Well, college sailing is kind of unique. So when we grew up sailing, it was always my boat. It would be me or me and one other person. And so we all, you know, if you go to a race with 100 boats, it's every person for themselves. College sailing, you actually get to enter several boats. And so when you enter several boats, you combine all of their scores. It's kind of like a cross-country team. All seven are competing individually, but you get to keep the top scores similar to that. So college sailing is college sailing is a really nice transition because it's like the first time you learn to actually be a teammate. Because before it was just you.
Yeah, well, I team almost like team golf.
Yes.
I mean, mm-hmm. You know, and you're used to, you don't really, it's you against the world in golf, and same thing in track and swimming, but team. Points. So that's good to see. So there is some camaraderie for having each other's backs and encouraging and that type of thing.
College sailing is very much a team sport.
Perfect. Yeah. So you obviously men's and women's. Mm-hmm. We better start with the ladies first. We have, and your name, young lady?
I'm Alyssa.
I have ADD, age deficit disorder. So I know she already introduced you, but I wasn't fast enough on the pen to write it down. All I have here is, this is from Amanda, and I love her dearly. I have Kellen, and senior Josh Cole's not here.
No.
Okay. We can work this. So where are you from?
I'm from Huntington Beach, California, actually.
What'd you do? Go recruiting when you left her? Smart girl.
Yeah, well, similar to her, I wanted to get as far as from home as possible.
Well, you accomplished it.
We just flipped coasts. I'm from California, went to St. Pete. She's from St. Pete or Florida, went to California.
You accomplished it, at least in the continental United States. I bet your parents were like, really?
Yeah, basically.
You want to get away from us that bad? But pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, I like it here a lot.
Now, what year are you?
I'm a junior.
So you've survived a couple years over here on the tough East Coast?
Yeah, I did.
Or the West Coast of the East Coast. How did you find Eckerd College? That's the one that's always interesting to me. And no offense to the coaches, it's not a tough sell. So don't say you did a great job recruiting. Just see the video, as I've looked at, and if you're fortunate to make a trip, you're sold, right?
Yeah, exactly. No, I actually found Eckerd because I started sailing when I was in high school, so I hadn't had that much sailing experience. And there's a regatta that usually happens in June in California called the Rose Bowl. And there's actually a school from Eckerd, or a group of people from Eckerd that went there. And I was already thinking about applying to Eckerd because they have a good sailing team, and I was interested in the marine biology program. And then when I met the team while they were there sailing at the Rose Bowl, they put up a fight against who they were sailing against. There's a lot of good schools out there, and it's really fun to watch.
So what age did you get initiated into sailing?
I think I was only 16. I went in with no sailing experience.
You were an old lady compared to her.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those sports where you can really go into it at any age, and you can learn everything about it and get good at it fast.
No. Not any age. Dinosaurs aren't.
You don't know until you try, though. You're totally good.
Okay. I'm going to be giving you guys a call sometime and saying, I'm coming over. I'll have the orange life jacket on, you know, the wing things.
As long as you don't get seasick, you'll be fine.
I'm pretty comfortable in water, but I'm sure as hell I'm not going to start sailing at 65. Anyway, so 16 years old. And you found Eckerd. Was your family happy that you were coming here? Well, of course, the disappointment of getting far away, but probably pleased that you're going to continue to sail and enjoy your passion and get a great education.
Yeah, my dad was really proud of me because he always wanted me to get into sports of some kind, but it was really hard for me to keep going out of sport growing up. I loved doing stuff outside, but I got kind of bored of it easily because some of the rules are just so repetitive that you can't, you will know everything to a certain point, and then you just have to keep working at a certain skill. And when it gets too repetitive, I guess as a kid, I just kind of lost interest. Because I'm like, oh, my foot doesn't bend that way. I can't do a cartwheel.
A California free spirit, imagine that. That never happens out there, does it? From a passion perspective, this is something that all of you can do the rest of your lives, right?
Exactly.
And and teach your families and your friends and kids if you have them. That's the joy. They're lifelong sports, whether it's tennis, golf, swimming. I mean, those are the sports that I think we don't put enough emphasis. I cover a lot of high school sports, and the marquee sports get all the coverage, as far as eyeballs, football, basketball, baseball. But the sports that you can play the rest of your lives, you look at down these broken down jocks downstairs, they'll be watching games here today, drinking beer. They wish they had an activity they could participate in. So marine biology.
Yeah.
Cool. No, really. I mean, the more I get embedded down here, coming from the Midwest, I see the need for marine biology. You don't hear about it in other pockets of the country. You heard of it in California. But so from a career perspective, what are your aspirations?
I was just really interested in doing any type of research. My first year here, when I was still doing the marine biology track, I actually went to Bimini, Bahamas through the school.
Tough duty.
Yeah, it was the worst. It was sunny all the time.
Oh my God, how'd you tough it out?
Snorkeling all the time. It absolutely sucked.
Calling home for money. Where's that money going? Oh, well, research.
Yeah, it's research.
Research at night, at the nightlife. Research of the nightlife. Do you want to do a shout out to anyone? We archive this and I'll give you the information. Yeah, so your family can hear you 14,000 miles away that you decided to leave them.
Yeah, I guess I'll give a shout out to my parents for supporting me and being able to
their
names? Eckerd. Dennis and Maria Martinez.
Well, Dennis and Maria, you have a lovely daughter here. I'm sure she'll return home someday. Have they come out to visit?
Yeah, they have. And they realize why it's so hard to pull me away from the beach.
Well, I'm sure. Okay, I'm not knowledgeable enough to even ask educated questions. What's your best... stupid question, Flynn. I don't know what to ask. What's your best... usually you say position. Help me here, Coach.
Yeah. What position do you play?
What are they called?
Yeah.
I don't have a clue. Okay. What are you in the sailing world?
So
besides a young lady that sails.
There are two different positions in the types of sailing that we do: the crew and the skipper. So the skipper.
I want to be the skipper.
Yeah. You'd be a great skipper.
Okay. Yeah. That like Gilligan's Island skipper.
Yeah. So you just pull the big sail in and steer the boat basically, and the crew helps keep the boat balanced, make sure you're speedy, like focuses on lines on the course.
How big is a crew?
Right way. The crew can be any size. We have usually smaller size because you have to tuck away underneath the boom that's swinging around.
Yes, but I did get whacked in the back of the head back in the day.
Oh, it happens.
Yeah, yeah.
that certifies you as a sailor. You're
that certified
once,
me
once,
as
once you get hit in the head with the boom,
too many cocktails.
Official, yeah.
That was when I was about
your induction.
Yeah, I was about 21 years old and was giving it a shot. My buddies, and they knew what they're doing, and they kept telling me, "Duck, I got this. I'm better athletes than you guys." Next thing you know, they may have done it intentionally, whacked in the back of the head. So. You make certain that doesn't happen, and the balance, and the speed's all generated from the sail.
For the most part, it depends, because if you can gain some speed from the wind that's coming by, but if you're pulling your sail in all the way, it can slow you down actually. If you don't have it all the way in either, so it really depends on the conditions. A lot of it's also body weight too. If you change directions, you don't want to lose all your speed from going into the wind for a second, and your body weight can kind of help you roll the boat.
I live down in Sunset Beach, not too far from you guys, and I see these guys sailing. What happens? I mean, if you're in competition and the wind dies down, what the hell do you do?
Cry,
sweat, and be miserable.
You just have to sit there and wait for a gust.
Yeah.
But the other team's in the same situation, right?
Yeah. It's everybody's, as long as the playing field is level.
You just want to be sitting in the hole that's closest to the new wind.
Yeah. I'm certain you guys could use Paul Delgado from Channel 13 as an assistant coach, giving you tips on when the gusts are coming. I mean, having a meteorologist would be an advantage for a team. Maybe you guys develop a relationship. I'll set that up with one of the news guys. The official wind barometer analyst for Eckerd is Paul Delgado from Fox 13.
High profile.
Yeah, exactly. I'm serious. That'd be kind of fun, actually.
That would be sweet.
So that's one of the obstacles. Now that we're done, we're not completely done with the ladies, because you're going to get the last word. Let's move over here. All right, young man. Where are you from originally?
I'm from Maryland.
What?
I'm from Maryland. Up in Annapolis.
I know where it's at.
Oh, yeah, I'm from a long way.
The Navy. So that's where the sailing comes from.
I used to work at the Naval Academy.
How cool is that?
It was awesome. I loved working there. But my family is also
They kicked you off campus, probably. You look a little too hip. You look a little too much like Ferris Bueller type deal.
Yes, I got that a lot. Working with the other ensigns, they were some of the plebes were. We're like, hey, what year did you graduate from the Naval Academy? I'm like, do I look like I went to the Naval Academy?
Yeah, do I act like it?
No.
So you migrated south. You're a wise kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, these two grew up, you know, in the privileged world of sun, and we were shunned from sun.
Shoveling snow. Oh, it's really
I'm
old.
I'm from Iowa. You think I don't know about
it? It's really old, really
quickly.
My
God, I was there last week. It was 27 degrees in April for a low.
That sounds horrible.
Okay, so how did you find out about Eckerd coming from Maryland?
So I was sailing in high school, and Eckerd came up on my radar as a potential sailing school. And I went there when I was in high school 15, 20 years ago. I graduated in 2006, and I loved Eckerd. I went down there and
you graduated in 2006?
Yeah, from Eckerd.
You've held up well.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm sure that you've lived a little party life being in Florida, but you've done well, man.
Thank you very
much.
Is
that why you got those shades on?
Oh, yeah.
No, you look good.
Thank you. But yeah, I came down to Eckerd and I just started as the head coach back in August, which was really cool coming from someone who used to be on the Eckerd team. I went there to sail, and yeah, now I'm back, and it's great.
Hey, you got to come over to Sunset Beach. I'm going to take you to Katiki, right across from Caddy's.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody will believe you're a coach. Oh, yeah. I'll buy you a couple of Margies. What's this guy? What's that show? To tell the truth or something? What's this guy do for a living? There's no way they'd say head coach of anything. You just look like you're just one of those cool cats.
Well, thank you. I'll take that as a compliment.
It is a compliment. And sailing's the appropriate for him, isn't it? Yeah, you fit that profile.
Thank you.
Yeah. I bet the kids absolutely, kids to me, I'm sorry. I apologize.
No.
But I don't at my age. you don't have to. When you hit 65, my daughter lives in Chicago. She says, you know what? Dad, you don't have to effing apologize to anybody anymore. I go, thank you, dear. And I'm trying that. It doesn't work. Anyway, so you got to Eckerd, and then right when you got done, did you go into the program from a coaching or assistant coaching perspective?
I've been coaching since I was in high school. It's something that I did on and
off.
I worked as a master mechanic for a number of years up in Maryland, and then I kind of leaned more. I just kind of started coaching full time. I realized it was something I was good at. It was something I was passionate about. I've always loved the sport. And then I got more serious into that. I've been coaching high school for the past 10 years, and I've been working at the Naval.
Which high school?
Severn School up in Annapolis, Maryland, and Archbishop Spaulding in Broadneck High School up in Maryland. Yeah.
Well, God bless you. I respect anybody that's worked with kids in the high school world. And so the private schools actually had sailing up in Maryland.
Yeah.
Wow. Do the high schools around here? I mean, I cover all the sports. I'm going to have a baseball team on next. Do they have sailing around here? I'm sure.
Yes, they do. We actually just hosted the SESA District High School Championship at Eckerd a couple weeks ago. We had teams from St. Pete Yacht Club, Ransom Everglades, Antilles in the Virgin Islands were up here for that.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you guys hosted it at Eckerd?
Yeah, we did.
How cool. Stuff like that, once I get the interns involved. We're building a streaming platform right now. My partners and I from Orlando, we want to include unique and something like that, going out and having the interns be basically the announcers. I think that'd be really cool. Yeah. A unique niche that I don't think anybody's probably ever done. And we are actually going to launch an Eckerd sports channel too. So that'll be cool. And it'll all be done by all the interns. In fact, if you know anybody in communications, graphics, social media, bring them on, because I did this up north with Drake University and Iowa State. I want to get as much talent around my old carcass as possible so that we can stay relevant, if you will. Yeah. And guys like you sending in my direction. So you want to do a shout out there? I was going to say you're like a 12th year senior.
Super senior Van Wilder over here.
Yeah, my man.
No, I'll just shout out to my family, my friend Vanessa, who may or may not be listening, and my brother's new daughter, Scarlett.
Scarlett.
She can't hear or understand right now, but one day she'll know that I gave
her. That's my cool uncle in Florida. Yeah. That's my cool uncle in Florida. You want to go hang out with him? And the parents say, no, you're not going out and hang out with your cool uncle in Florida. All right, my man. Well, thanks for coming down today.
Thank you.
I've enjoyed it. Now let's. He's been very patient over here. And your name again, young?
My name is Brooks.
Brooks, how are you, my man?
I'm doing pretty good.
One of my good buddies named Brooks. You're a hell of a lot better looking than my Brooks. But
thank you.
Anyway, so let's talk about your journey to Eckerd. How'd you find Eckerd? What year are you? And some special moments. I got to ask you a special moment before we move on.
So I'm currently a sophomore at Eckerd College, and I found Eckerd through the Marine Science program as well. Since then, I may have deviated from Marine Science, but I fell in love with the school regardless. I think it was a combination of wanting to do some sort of science, but also, like everyone else, you're kind of like get away from home for a bit. But
where are you from originally?
Boston.
Boston. You're a Red Sox fan?
Yeah.
get.
I know. Well, I saw someone. I saw someone wearing a Boston Red Sox hat as we were walking the street, so I felt a little.
You should have brought him up here for a bodyguard. No, we love our Boston fans. This place gets packed during Boston games.
Oh yeah.
So Boston.
So up in Massachusetts, there's a long history of sailing and a culture that really fosters development of sailing and getting really involved in it. So from a young age, when I was around 8, that's how I got into sailing. My family members personally don't sail. Sometimes they sail for leisure, but it was me and my brother who really first got involved with the community of just getting out there to see if we just like liked it. So our friends were doing it, so we said, why not, give it a try. And I fell in love with the sport. I've been competing as long as I could remember when I was like 8. And I believe that I really wanted to up my game and be really good at sailing. So when it came for college selection and trying to look at places, I really wanted a school that also had a sailing team that I could get involved at. And Eckerd has a long history of really good sailing. So that, with the combination of beaches, the St. Pete area.
Not a tough sell.
Not a tough sell. Very easy. Had to sell it to my parents, but they eventually gave in.
So. Well, your parents, did they come make a visit?
Oh, yeah. No, I dragged them out, and they understand. Yeah. They get it.
That's
now.
A done deal.
Done deal.
Yeah.
But dealing with the cold and the, like, ugh, of Boston, no.
Well, so. two brilliant guys made the same move that my collective group did here, you know, the warmth. You guys are spoiled. You've been accustomed to it your entire lives. I'm just jealous is the bottom line there. Your favorite moment so far as a sophomore at Eckerd from a... And it doesn't have to necessarily be competition. I mean, you wouldn't believe some of the responses I got out of the soccer girls. Holy moly.
I bet. Well,
whoo. I think, is it Danielle? Is that the head? I think it starts with her. I love her, but I was keeping my distance. Anyway, and if I say something wrong, she's from Philly. She's coming across at me. Anyway, so it doesn't have to necessarily be competition and be, you know, participation. You know.
Yeah, well, I would say that it wouldn't have to be sailing just because last year when I was on the team, we didn't compete due to COVID.
Yeah.
So I think the ability to just travel around the country and really compete and just have that uniqueness of being a part of like a cohesive team and just competing and dominating, it was really fun. And honestly, I can't.
You seem too nice a guy that want to dominate, kick, you know, kick you, but you guys still want to kick butt.
Sailing seems like
it's cutthroat.
It seems like a gentleman's and a ladies sport.
Oh,
you still want to kick ass.
We are gentlemen.
Oh, we are.
They are ladies for sure.
Yeah, you still want to kick butt, right?
Oh yeah, on the water it's a different attitude, different
ruthless.
Mentality, ruthlessness.
Okay.
But obviously,
let's not get too over aggressive. I want them to still have that perception of you.
No, but sailing. I mean. Competing and just having that general connections with other college students who sail. I've met a lot of people who have been sailing their entire life and people who've just started started their sailing career in college. And honestly, it's been nice to make those connections because you see the same faces, especially within districts. And it's just nice to have that connection with other sailors, too.
That's cool. Want to do a shout-out up to Boston where
oh, yeah.
It's cold and the fans suck? The fans are horrible? No. Sorry, folks.
I
grew up a Yankee fan, and now I'm a Rays fan, so Sox.
Well, I like to give a shout-out to my parents, Melissa and Edward, and also to my brother, who's a state trooper in Vermont.
Well, God bless him.
So he's patrolling the roads, living life up in Vermont, well, with the snow, and I'm like, you can have fun with that. But.
Oh, well, they really need, trust me, being from Iowa, they need troopers during the winter.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you for coming down. I did not ask you, young lady, your favorite memory as a junior.
That's a tough one. I love sailing. It's really fun, especially at Eckerd, because we are a pet-friendly campus. So there's been a couple times where I've taken my roommate's dog out onto the boats.
You can have dogs in your room?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then
holy moly. I thought my buddy Ferg, he was out of his mind when he put the dog park here. And that's just the reality of this area. Mm-hmm. And now my kids have, I mean, my daughter is in medicine in Chicago, and she's got a dog and two cats. And I'm like, holy moly. You can That's a selling point for a lot of people. You can bring Fido to school.
I think that's also why Caroline ended up picking Eckerd, too, because she can bring her dog Jasper to practice with us. And everybody.
So Jasper, the unofficial mascot?
He is very official.
He has his own penny, so it's very official.
Send me some pictures. We're going to start, I'm serious, we're going to start loading some cool stuff on social media. If you go to our Hoovy.tv, we've got... I was the soccer girls. So get us a shot of Jasper.
Oh, that's not a problem.
Jasper's famous?
Jasper's famous, yes. Jasper's very famous.
All right, well, he'll be video streaming. All right, so your favorite... So overall, just the environment, basically, has been just superb for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, guys, this has been a lot of fun. I look forward to continued conversations. You got a young coach. Caroline is going to keep him in order. And you guys are sophomore and junior. Hope to see you again. Oh, yeah. And don't be surprised if I have TR to bring me over and say he's all yours. He needs to learn how to sail so I can talk about it intelligently. Well, not intelligently. I can't do that. But talk about it next time you're on the air.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Look forward to it. All right. That's the Eckerd. That was a lot of fun. The Eckerd sailing team. And I look forward to... I'm coming to the campus. The security better let me by on Tuesday, 5:15. Ray Kennedy, come over here and we'll talk a little bit. And then are the kids starting to come there, Coach?
Yeah, they'll be here
shortly. All right. We've got Coach Rogers, of course. And that's your alma mater, you realize.
Holland's High.
Holland's High. And don't call him Dixie today. I'm the one that was calling Dixie. And you fired off Dixie the last time.
Well, I have authority to go ahead and do that just because I graduated when it was still Dixie M. Hollins High School. But no, Hollins High, the Royals love it.
Have you seen the year they're having in baseball?
Yes, sir. They're having a great year.
I falsely claim connection karma.
Yes, hey.
And Ralph humored me on that. But I used to tell that to people up north. They're successful. I go, well, you were on the show, so it's connection karma. And he kind of bit on it because they're here, and now they're getting ready to go to the districts. And
10-4.
Yeah, you should be wearing your gear to... Your alma mater, man.
All I have is my Letterman jacket. It's a little. It's still nice down here in Florida, but it's a little too warm to be wearing that heavy Letterman jacket.
Probably not too tight for you. Okay, let's talk about the last couple of days. Of course, he's Ray Kennedy. I again want to thank him for carrying the ball last Saturday for me up here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill as we look across at Tropicana Field. A 4:10 first pitch today against the Minnesota Twins. Nice win yesterday. Nice win Thursday afternoon.
Yes.
And, this team is almost a blueprint of last year's team, if you will. The Rays, and I know you've been to several games with your media credentials these days, by the
yes,
way.
Sir.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you, yes.
And so let's talk Bucks.
Yes. They just, in fact, they're round. They just selected their pick in round four, and of course, you know, with Rob Gronkowski still out there, not you know having that draft party in Vegas, but not knowing where we're going with that in round four at number 106, they actually just drafted a former Washington Husky tight end, nice kid, Kate Otten, 6'6", 247 pounds, but he has been called the best blocking tight end in this draft. And create separation. Good receiver.
TB, you like to hear that?
Yeah, get him those rounds. So they, you know, and you were wondering how the Bucks would go in 2022 with this draft, but so far it's been three offensive side and one defensive side. Of course, that second round pick, number 33, they trade out of the first round, but they address that with that interior defensive end, Logan Hall out of Houston. That's going to end.
I watched him several times. Just Houston happened to be on, and they were raving about him.
Yes,
and. He's gonna make a difference right away, I think.
Versatility too, goes inside and outside because you're thinking that they wanted someone to complement the inside there with Vita Vea, but then also you bury the lead. This guy is also can roll outside. Just dictated to probably play inside, but having that versatility on that defensive line is going to pay dividends for the Buccaneers.
All right, now I think you almost predicted it as far as they were going to. Give away their first round draft.
Trade out, yeah, and they do. They pick up some picks. They trade out of the first round, and they move back. There was a couple of players on the board that they could have selected right there, but I think that they still end up getting Logan Hall at 33, and they still got a couple of extra draft picks in the middle because that's one thing about this draft was it's heavy in the middle with talent, and it may not shine at the top. Of course, you only had one quarterback taken in the entire first round. And then, of course, the NFC South gets fed in the second and third round because, both quarterbacks go from – the Ole Miss quarterback goes to Atlanta, and then, of course, you had the other kid goes to Carolina. So you're not sure what's going to go on. Thank you so much. But yeah, I thought we figured that. That was something. Last year they called Joe Tryon Shayanka, also a Washington Husky, same as the tight end they selected today. They called him a pleasure pick.
I was gonna say they're expecting a lot out of him. And what was your opinion of his first year? Is that why they made this move? Because he didn't reach the expectations?
No. Well, he's got the length. He's got the size. He himself even said a couple of weeks ago in his presser they had over at One Buck Place, he wanted to put a little size on, get a little more physical. Anytime a college player goes from, you know, playing in college where you might play 10 or 13, 14 games a year, all of a sudden you're in the National Football League and you're playing a six-month schedule, it's a bit much. And it wasn't above Joe Tryon Shayanka in 2021, but I definitely think he's going to still, you know, because now you got JPP. He gets that big, you know, post on social media this week that he's out of here. You still have Ndamukong Suh.
You know, I was in Iowa. I missed that. So JPP is no longer a Buck.
Yeah, well, I mean, he was on an airplane flying out of here, and he basically said in less words than none, you know, bye-bye Tampa Bay, which, of course, the guy played at USF, rock star, got two championships, one with the Giants and then one with the Bucks in 2020. But, you know, there comes a time when you have to start making these decisions, and Jason Light has not been fearful of making decisions, continuing to build strength, because you want to also keep your eye on the present with an eye towards the future. And that's what the good teams do.
As you look at the draft, you know, and of course I'm still a Packer fan. I'm sure their first selection, Aaron Rodgers, was just furious again.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't care if it was the most worthless wide receiver on the planet. Just give the guy a wide receiver and with your first pick to appease him. They didn't do that. But I tell you what, I'm from that part, neck of the woods. They've got this young man, Christian Watson, right, wide receiver from North Dakota State.
Right.
And I won't talk too much about it because I don't want to piss off the Bucs fans.
But nah.
That finally, I think, will keep Aaron Rodgers' arrogance at bay for at least a few weeks until camp starts.
Well, you know, the Cats got 50 million reasons to get over.
I know.
I know what you're saying. Of course, they draft Jordan Love 2 years ago, and we find out now, you know, Aaron Rodgers goes and wins NFL MVP, takes him to the NFC Championship game, where, of course, they lost to the Bucks in 2020. Still had a lot of...
I don't want to hear about that.
No, but I mean, you know, obviously he was real red backside on that, and, you know, now Jordan Love, who knows what's going to go on with that kid in Green Bay as far as he's there still. But, you know, they trade away Davante Adams this year, you know, one of Aaron. And what a crazy offseason, Mike, if you've watched it all, the wide
everywhere.
Receivers. Everywhere.
What's going on in San Francisco?
With Debo Samuel. Teams are finding out. Well, first of all, these receivers, they want to get that immediate love. They call it the Tom Brady effect. They want to go to a team that gives them that, but they also, the number one, they want to get paid. But you see Brown, Hollywood Brown, you got Brown, A.J. Brown from Tennessee, you got Devontae, you've got Tyreek Hill now as a Dolphin from the Chiefs. A lot of these teams are realizing there's teams out there that want a wide receiver one, and they're willing to give up lots of draft picks and pay that money. And the teams that are giving them up, their thoughts are they can just develop another. If they've got a phenomenal quarterback, their thoughts are they can develop another wide receiver and maybe save a little cap.
Now, I love to see, you know, you're all over social media. You do a superb job. You keep your finger on the pulse. You made a couple of little slight comments about Baker Mayfield and having no leverage.
He has none.
The cat has no leverage. The
not
good thing is he's got a nice, thick bank account. I guarantee you some of the Hulu. He's got two or three nice marketing.
The insurance, right?
The insurance deal.
With State Farm.
State Farm. That was the Cleveland Stadium. That's gone.
No, I'm sorry. It's Progressive.
Progressive.
Bad,
yeah. And he, you know, he lived at the stadium. So, and that was. I thought that was pretty creative. That's gone the way of the dodo bird.
Well, and you wonder why you got a Lamar Jackson there in Baltimore negotiating his own contract. You got a Kyler Murray only in his third year of 5-year contract, and you wonder why some of these quarterbacks are clamoring for their next contract. But then you see a guy like Baker Mayfield who took a low end, you know, took the money in 2021, figuring his job was secure, and here he is in 2022. They bring in Deshaun Watson, and now this kid, even though Cleveland's on the hook for that entire salary, they can't let him go because Pittsburgh Steelers, even though Pittsburgh drafts Kenny Pickett out of Pittsburgh, Steelers are looking at it thinking, well, if you let Baker go and you got to pick up his contract, we could bring that kid in here for a basement. What is putting salt in the wound as far as the Cleveland Browns fans go?
You're listening to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. We're perched out back where Ray does his weekly, well, almost sometimes daily,
yeah.
Cup of Ray from this is just a great spot. Today at 4:10, you've got the Rays and the Minnesota Twins. We've got a concert tonight afterwards. During the day, come on down. All the baseball you can watch. The end of the draft. We'll have the Champions Tour on PGA. Whatever you want. There's 94 televisions. So come on down to Ferg Sports Bar and Grill here at 13th and Central. As Ray and I like to say, in the heart of Tampa Bay, vibrant, beautiful day. They talked about rain. I don't see that happening right now.
Well, I tell you, this afternoon, right? Like yesterday, I'm there in Pinellas Park. We got a gully washer. I'm using some of my old gully washer on my tuchus.
Again, do you have a dictionary from 1942?
I appreciate. You know, my favorite college course of all time was advanced vocabulary, and so I always liked that. And it wasn't my dad always said, if you can't dazzle them with brilliance, baffle them with the other stuff.
Yeah, but BS. What were the ones you were using last week? Ruffians.
Ruffians.
I'm trying to talk boxing, and you're calling them ruffians.
Ruffians and tuchus.
Yeah, he got knocked on his tuchus, a couple ruffians.
Well, I said...
My audience doesn't know what that means. They got to get a thesaurus out.
A thesaurus. I talked
you know
to
what
someone...
thesaurus is.
I know.
Of course you do.
My friend.
I have to get one out to have conversations with half the people that come on the air.
Well, I talked to someone last week about that, again, that fight that was down here at Ferg's. Ferg had down here at the world-famous Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on Central Avenue, just below 16th Street in the Edge District of St. Petersburg. And I said, yeah, Tyson Fury's fight's on today. He's a pugilist. And the guy looked at me like I was saying he was accused of something. He's a pugilist. Has he been charged with that?
What'd he do?
Has he been charged?
Yeah. Said, no. Jack Johnson was a pugilist back in the the bare knuckle days, you goofball. Anyway, I love your vocabulary. Anyway, that's where we're perched, and we're having a conversation about the Bucks draft. Have you ever been over for the draft party?
I have been into a stadium for the draft party before.
It's amazing. Yeah. Every city now has draft parties at the stadiums. And I think it's an excellent, you know, of course, the superior marketing mammoth giant that they are, the NFL.
Oh, yes.
Everybody revels in it. 3 days of nothing but partying. Of course, they're in Vegas this year.
Vegas. Nashville last year was a party.
Nashville was superb down
that
there on Broadway.
Nice.
I love Broadway anyway. But... The fans that don't have season tickets can still go over there, get a tour of the stadium,
right?
Be involved in the conversation with their fellow fans,
right?
I absolutely love it. If you're a fan and you want an opportunity to get to Ray J and get inside the locker room and get the feel.
Going back to 2001, my wife and I had just started dating. We were engaged, so we took our first weekend.
She's
over.
She's hung out with you that long?
Can you believe it? I have no idea why.
God,
my better.
How come I've never got a chance to meet her? Because you probably think I might share a few stories.
No, she could talk sports with the best of them. That's why I like that.
Well,
I
let's
love
get
that.
Her on. What
we'll
the
get
heck?
Her on here. She's my.
We need to be gender. What do you call it?
Gender inclusive. There
yes.
you go. But 2001, we're over in Orlando, and we went to a Philly. Because if you remember 2000, of course, Donovan McNabb bounces the Bucks out of the championship game. They'd bounced out of the playoffs the year before. We had not yet won Super Bowl 37. We went to a Philadelphia Eagles sports bar in Orlando and watched a draft. And, you know, that's why I posed. They get a bad rap, like the Yankees fan did last week with the Cleveland Guardians and the trash on the field. And, you know, you can't let a few rotten eggs spoil the bunch. But, you know, you get in somebody's plan. Of course, a coach has here with the Philadelphia Eagles parties they have right here.
We keep them up here so that there's no issues.
In the nest.
That's what I say.
Yeah.
No, they're passionate. And Buffalo fans are the same way, and we keep them downstairs during the NFL games.
Oh, they're the worst.
They got their little corner, and they've actually knocked me off the air during the playoffs, the Bills fans.
Oh, Bills Mafia, yeah.
Because we're set up there, and the internet wasn't as strong then, and I thought, what? Why am I getting knocked off?
They took it.
Then I put two and two together. Every time that they scored, the Buffalo Bills fans went friggin' crazy.
Took all that
and knocked us off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you know, the thing about it is that Tampa Bay. We're a income tax free state. We're a destination for tourism. It's one of the reasons why we have the Buccaneers. That and the fact that back in the late '60s, Bill Markham and the Tampa JCs, they proved to the NFL that we could support a professional football team. But it comes with the territory. You can't live in paradise and then be surprised or red backsided when a lot of people want to come down. And we're a melting pot.
You know, we've been fortunate on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and develop a relationship with the NFL Tampa alumni chapter, and I've got some. And I consider them good friends after a couple of years. Barry Smith, of course, he was a FSU graduate, wide receiver, and he got the phone call in his department. I like to hear their stories. In 1976, he got a call from the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
And I believe it was Bart Starr was the Now, Bart was a few years later, his third year with the Packers. Randy Grimes sharing his story, and he was down there at Baylor and getting the call, and he, as I said, changed his life. Cameron's traveling today. Cameron Wembley, former FSU standout, defensive standout, number 13 draft pick in 2006 by the Cleveland Browns, believe it or not, as we talk Browns. And then he went to the Oakland Raiders and Tennessee Titans. I want to get his perception, perception of that day and how it's evolved in each generation. So I think what you and I will work on is get something from the 70s, 80s, 90s.
Right.
Up to current, how getting the call and the family and the party. Because I know Randy was with his lovely wife on the day he got the call in their little apartment.
Right.
And Barry was probably throwing down a couple coldies waiting for the call. Cameron was probably quietly waiting, you know, calmly with his future bride then. Everybody, you know, has a different way they celebrate. But it was just a phone call in those days. It wasn't a celebration with you know, three or four cameras in your face.
Well, one of the reasons why, again, it may sound gratuitous when I say this, but from peewees to preps to pros, and I've always said this is one of my truest you know, sayings. I'll say over and over again, I believe everybody has an interesting story to tell. They just have to find the right author or someone to help them, and that's what we're doing here with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, and having the Eckerd College sailing team or having the Hollins baseball team is because there's so many interesting stories that we can share, and it really just, we're just tasked with helping them bring it to the forefront and share it with our listeners.
Well, and I look forward to continuing to expand it, especially with your involvement. One of the things I want us to start doing as we get to the top of the hour, and then we'll bring Coach Ralph Rogers over here, and hopefully some of the kids. And I understand if they don't make it, because I mean, they had a game Thursday night in Dunedin, close on 1-0, and you know, they had practice this morning. They're getting ready for the districts. And it's an intense time and a busy time, and especially for the seniors as they are preparing for graduation.
So much going on this time of year.
A lot going on. And as I said, 410, right across the street. We're staring at it. At least I am. He has to look in the mirror. We're looking at Tropicana Field, and expect a nice crowd on a Saturday. 410 is a nice start time, because you can get your daily activities. You want to go to the beach,
right?
Get your honeydews done.
Yes, sir.
You're out of there by 7:30. It's not too late.
You can still enjoy
St. Pete.
Come over to First.
Yeah.
Well, what Best of the Bay wings they have here? Everything Coach has going on.
All last year,
around.
My friend. All right. You don't watch much NBA, do you?
Very little.
Well, the only good thing about the NBA this time of year, if you want to see which arguably the world's greatest athletes.
Yes, sir.
Would you agree with that?
I would 100% agree.
From a fluid perspective, yes. You know, their size, everything across the board, the best athletes. During the, you know, laborious long season of 84 games, they don't play a lot of D.
No.
But this time of year,
yes, sir,
with all the marbles sitting out there, they play all the marbles, that's an old term.
There you go.
They play a lot of defense.
Yes.
And you see some intense basketball. And I encourage you, if you gave up the NBA, forget the political reasons, but if you love the game of basketball, watch it now.
Yes.
Because you've got 8 seeds battling their butts off against 1 seeds. And we've had some great early series, and I have been watching it.
I miss the days, though, when the Detroit Pistons would be playing against.
Those were fist fights.
Well, Bill Laimbeer would just walk in, the ball, they'd tip the pass, and Bill would throw a punch, and that would just set the tone for the entire game.
I just saw a clip. Guy sitting next to me coming back from Des Moines actually happened to be, he was a program director for the Iowa Cubs when I was with him.
Oh, wow.
I hadn't seen this guy in 25 years. His poor wife, we talked sports the entire time, and he had a video of Larry Bird, Celtics against Pistons, going in the paint, and Laimbeer, forearm shiver to the throat.
Never hit it, never tried to hide it, just
got him on the ground, and Larry starts throwing rights at him.
Yes.
They're trying to break it up. A brawl broke out.
Right.
Not one person was kicked out of the game.
No, sir.
It was a playoff, and they continued.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.